If you grow tomatoes in Kansas City, there's a good chance they're in that final stage, the big, round, full-to-bursting green stage, right before they're ready to pick and eat. It's the moment you've been working toward all spring and summer. But the thing with tomatoes is they come in all at once. So you go from nothing to suddenly more than you can eat. So what do you do with all those tomatoes? The time to make a plan is now. I'm Gina Kaufman, and later in the show, we will be searching for great tacos with the food critics. But for now, we've invited a tomato expert to help us get ready for the juicy goodness of the season. James Worley, welcome to Central Standard.
Good morning.
So you work with the Missouri Department of Conservation, but on your own time, you're all about tomatoes. You have a tomato blog, KC Tomato Times, and you host a whole weekend of tomato festivities every year.
Yeah, the Totally Tomato Weekend coming up in August.
Yeah, so, okay, this is a tomato dinner at Jasper's, followed by a tomato tasting.
The 10th annual.
Yeah, so wait. Okay, let's talk about both of these things. Okay. What happens?
The dinner at Jasper's is on Friday night. It's just a tomato-themed dinner that he puts together with tomatoes featuring in every course, including the tableside mozzarella, and then a tomato entree and, of course, tomato-themed desserts.
What is an example of a tomato entree?
Tomatoes with fresh pasta, maybe a tomato bisque with lobster or something like that.
But I noticed you did not say pasta with tomato.
Tomatoes with pasta. Tomatoes are the focus right now. It should be tomato. Everything you cook, tomatoes should be the focus for the next month or so.
So, okay, tell me also about the tomato tasting.
The tomato tasting is the first Saturday in August every year. The local pig helps us host every year, and it's at 9 a.m., free event that I do. It's our 10th annual. And all I ask is that people bring tomatoes from the garden or tomato-themed dishes to share. It's like a potluck. We'll have anywhere from 40 to 60 varieties of tomatoes for people to sample. A few years ago,
how many was that again?
40 to 60. A few years ago, we had 100 varieties laid out for people to sample, 50 on each side of four picnic tables laid out. So it's a bit overwhelming.
Is there a winner, or is this just for the fun of it?
Oh, we do voting, but more it's for the fun of it and to explore the diversity of the tomato world. You know, there's green and ripe tomatoes and purple tomatoes and blue tomatoes and striped tomatoes and black tomatoes and everything else in between.
How much of the difference is visual, and how much can you taste it? I mean, when you're eating them side by side like that, how much is the variety, like, tasteable?
It's absolutely different. Some tomatoes have a much brighter acidic flavor off the first bite. Some have a more earthy, deeper, smoky flavor. Some are more tart. Some are more sweet. Kind of liken it to tasting wine. You know, wines have different types of in-depth flavors and aromas, and tomatoes have the same.
What inspired you to start doing this?
Oh, my wife. When we were dating, I lived in the country, she lived in the city, and on our dates, I would bring tomatoes instead of flowers. And when we got
That's
married
so
and bought
sweet.
A house, tomatoes can be sweet, and so is she. I've been growing tomatoes my whole life, but a lot in the last 14, 15 years.
And so this is still not totally obvious to me how bringing tomatoes to dates leads to the Totally Tomato Weekend.
I started selling a few extra seedlings in my backyard and put them on Craigslist 15 years ago, 14 years ago. And it's become a little cottage industry in my backyard. And I've met so many great families and friends and taught so many people how to grow tomatoes and how to cook with tomatoes and how to appreciate tomatoes for all their diverse wonders. So that's just become part of who I am.
You, I mean, as we've been hearing, are a tomato grower yourself and a pretty serious one. You know, I'm curious where the level of passion that you are exhibiting for this particular plant and the fruit that it yields, where does it come from?
Everything I do to excess. I have a very addictive personality, and when I do something, I tend to do it to the extreme, whether it's growing tomatoes or cooking squirrels or anything else like that. I tend to go to the next level, so that's just me.
And you're sort of teaching people how to grow tomatoes
and all of that.
I mean, have you found that there is a tomato growing community of some kind in Kansas City?
There's more people passionate about growing tomatoes than any other garden vegetable. If you have a garden, you grow tomatoes. It's just that simple. Some people just grow tomatoes. It's the love apple. It's the sign of summer. It's what people grow and what people get excited about.
Do you have tips for the amateurs out there? I'm not growing tomatoes now, but I have in the past, and I feel like for something that seems so simple, mm-hmm. there's actually a lot that can go wrong.
There's a lot that can go wrong. Tomatoes really aren't supposed to grow here. They're a desert plant.
Desert?
Yes. They were. Their ancestors simmed to the deserts of Mexico and Central America, so we've adapted them to grow here. But they don't like our humid weather. They like very dry climate. And the number one thing people do wrong with their tomatoes is water them. You should not water your tomatoes to excess. Water every 5 to 7 days. Water them very deeply and never water the foliage. Always water the roots.
So wait, even when it's like 100 plus degrees out, yeah. every 5 to 7 days, that's how often you're supposed to water?
Unless they're in a pot. When in a pot, you got to water them like every 3 minutes this time of year. But if they're in raised beds or in the ground, every 5 to 7 days at the very most. If your tomato looks kind of curled up and ucky looking at the end of the day when it's 100 degrees, that's okay. It'll rebound in the evening and be fine in the morning. But water it very, very deeply every 5 to 7 days. You'll have a much happier plant.
What else? I mean, other tips besides that? You said that's the main one.
That's the main one. Make sure you prune any foliage that touches the ground. You want to, because we have so many soil-borne diseases, you don't want the leaves touching the ground because those icky diseases can climb up the plant. Pick your fruit at first blush. A vine-ripened tomato is a tomato that's changed color on the vine. You don't have to wait for it to get all the way red, because if you do, a million bad things can happen to your beautiful tomato. The squirrels, the deer, the birds will see that tomato and come and eat it. Pick it at first blush. As soon as it changes color, bring it in the house. Sit it stem side down on the kitchen table. Never put it in the refrigerator because that changes the sugars and makes it taste like a tomato in February. And then wait for it to ripen. That's the key. Pick it first blush.
So as far as keeping tomatoes out on the countertops mm-hmm. and such, how do you keep them from, the problem for outdoor tomato gardeners, one of the problems is little critters mm-hmm. might come and eat them before you get to. But that problem, keeping food out on the countertop can have that problem inside too.
Fruit flies can be an issue if you've got very ripe fruit in the house. And those are pretty easy to remedy with a little dish of some vinegar and a little soap. The fruit flies will fall in there and that'll take care of that. But I would rather have fruit flies than squirrels biting my tomatoes. So there's nothing worse than going out there and finding a big bite taken out of your favorite tomato. So pick them at first blush, bring them in the house.
So as far as like all the different people you've met who are out there growing tomatoes, is there someone with a really unusual technique that you can share with us? Or does everyone do it the same way?
If they're the disciples of me, they follow my rules pretty strictly. We plant at Mother's Day and we plant our plants very, very deeply and cage them. I use a really cool mulch called silver reflective mulch film. It's bright silver, brighter than aluminum foil. It's a plastic mulch that keeps the water in, keeps the weeds out. And the silver bounces light underneath the leaves, and it keeps away the bugs, the aphids, the hornworms, the flea beetles and things like that. They like shade, and they can't find shade under the leaves if you've got the silver film. And you can see your gardens from space. So they're very bright.
That is always my goal.
Yep.
So the thing is, it's amazing to haul in tomatoes by the armful, mm-hmm. but you have to do something with them pretty fast.
Eat them.
Well, so, okay, what are some of your favorite ways to enjoy a really good, really fresh tomato from the garden?
Well, everything this time of year, everything all year long when I cook or my wife cooks, we start with ingredients that are ripe. And right now, cucumbers are ripe and basil is ripe and tomatoes are ripe and peppers are ripe. That should be the focus. Melon is getting ripe.
Noticed that the watermelon is awesome right now.
Watermelon and tomatoes go together very, very well. They're both signs of summer, and they make a great tomato watermelon gazpacho. We had a person bring that to the tomato tasting a few years ago, and you could just drink shots of tomato watermelon gazpacho all summer long. But make sure the focus of every dish this time of year is something that's fresh, because now's the time to do it. If you get a surplus, throw them in the freezer. They freeze very well, tomatoes do.
How are your tomatoes right now? Are they in or are they almost in?
We're just starting to swing in. The cherries have been getting ripe for a few weeks. We're starting to get some medium-sized slicers. Some of the Roma types, the black icicles, the Marzano Fire, starting to ripen up. But really the peak in Kansas City is the last week of July, first week of August. So we're on the edge of the tomato tsunami, so be prepared. It's coming.
That is a good description of it. So what are you going to do with your tomato tsunami specifically?
Eat them all the time. Lots of tomato, lots of fresh mozzarella, lots of cucumbers, lots of pico de gallo. And then I do quite a bit of canning. I can some good sauces and sauces. I make green tomato pie when we have extras in the fall. Just whatever you can do with a tomato, do it. It's now's the time to do everything tomato.
You brought in a tomato mozzarella salad that I have cheated and tasted before we came on the air, and it is so freaking good.
Yeah.
It's like, it's sweet, and it's not just the sweetness of the tomato. I would say it's that everything you put in here brings out the sweetness of tomato.
Absolutely. They complement each other. Cucumbers brighten up a salad, and there's some fresh cucumbers in there from the garden. I just picked this morning, actually. Some fresh mozzarella from Jasper's, a little bit of white strawberry balsamic vinaigrette from the olive tree, and just a little splash of olive oil and a little bit of salt. Just fresh ingredients. Basil. Got to have basil.
Simple.
Fresh basil. Keep it simple. Absolutely. Let the tomato shine through.
So speaking of simplicity, you don't have to do much to turn tomatoes into salsa, which I mentioned because pretty soon our food critics are going to be here and they're going to be recommending tacos. So salsa.
Yep. The difference between salsa and pico de gallo is quite a bit different. I prefer pico, fresh, uncooked, you know, nice and chunky stuff. So I make a lot of pico in the summer. We make giant bowls of it and just gorge on it for days on end. But fresh pico starts with fresh tomatoes, fresh chilies. You can use spicy ones like jalapenos or habaneros. You can use sweet ones like some of the sweet bells or a nice cherry tomato or cherry pepper or maybe a Jimmy Nardello is a great pepper to put in there. Some good red onion is nice. And then a little bit of vinegar and some cilantro. Or my new favorite herb this year is popolo.
What?
Popolo. Everybody has the same look. Popolo is a Mexican herb that loves the heat and grows very well. And it has flavors of cilantro, but brighter, more citrus notes. And I'm just in love with it this year. It's if you've never grown papalo, P-A-P-A-L-O, and there's a long name for it in Spanish, but I can't remember it. But I strongly recommend you grow that in your garden if you like cilantro and you want to add that to your pico de gallo.
James, for the tomato lover out there, is there something that we have not talked about on this conversation that you cannot let us go without saying about tomatoes?
Grow your own. Make sure. If you have any spot in your garden that has a little bit of sunshine, lots of sunshine, grow your own tomato and grow a good one. I've grown almost 800 varieties in my life, and there's a few that you've got to grow. If you've never grown Carbon, grow Carbon.
What is it?
Everybody's heard of Cherokee Purple, which is like the gateway drug to heirloom tomatoes. But Carbon is twice as productive as Cherokee Purple, but I think it has better flavor. And it's very earthy and smoky, almost salty. It's absolutely my favorite tomato. I have a whole bed of them every year.
James Worley, thank you so much for your tomato expertise.
You're very welcome.
The tomato dinner at Jasper's is August 3rd this year, and the tomato tasting is August 4th. That's at the Local Pig in the East Bottoms. I'm Gina Kaufman. Get ready for the food critics and tacos on KCUR's Central Standard. I'm Gina Kaufman. It's Friday, and the food critics are here. We're searching for the best tacos in Kansas City. Call 816-235-2888 to tell us about the place you love to go for tacos, what you like about them, what makes them stand out from the crowd. 816-235-2888. And while you're calling, one place that's got a loyal following for authentic tacos is Rico's Tacos Lupe on Southwest Boulevard. They have an unusual schedule, open weekdays, closed on weekends, but that's okay because a lot of their business comes in on Tuesdays when tacos go for a dollar a piece. If you don't speak Spanish, you might assume that Rico's Tacos Lupe is run by someone named Rico, but that is not the case. It's run by Guadalupe Marcela Banuelos, or Lupe for short.
Rico actually means delicious, so it means Delicious Tacos Lupe.
She started out here on what she calls the Strip 10 years ago. And back then, she wasn't sure people would go for this kind of taco at all.
When I first started, my grandmother told me, what are you going to do, you know, that everybody's used to hard shell tacos? She's like, it's going to be hard. I was like, Grandma, well, they're going to have to get used to it. Because they're, you know, street style tacos. They're, you know, soft shelled. They're not hard shelled. We don't do, you know, the traditional hard shell. We do the carne asada, al pastor, carnitas, chicken.
Lupe was not afraid.
Rome wasn't built in a day, you know.
Now she has customers who come in every day for lunch. And part of what she's known for, aside from the tacos themselves, is her fresh homemade salsa. There are squirt bottles with the basic salsas on every table. And then there's a whole salsa bar if you want to customize.
We have a habanero, pineapple habanero, the brava. We have the green sauce.
Ah, yes, the green sauce. That's my weakness here. But Lupe says there are actually two green sauces. One the way she makes it, the other one uses her grandmother's recipe.
Are you willing to tell me the difference between the two?
Yes, the way the peppers are roasted. That's the difference.
Lupe moves fast on a Tuesday morning as she prepares for the Taco Tuesday rush. Her two kids run around the dining room and her husband, Jose, mans the grill. Lupe grew up in this kind of environment herself. Her family's been in the food business a long time.
My great-grandmother used to sell vegetables and fruits in Guadalajara, Mexico.
Now her grandma runs La Posada Market next door. She's the one who had the idea for Lupe to set up shop nearby. Lupe had been over in KCK.
I came over here. My grandma's like, come over here. You know, you're over there by yourself. And I'm like, okay, grandma.
So it's probably no big surprise that family is still a lot of what this place is about. Sometimes in the morning, the kids will start begging for tacos for lunch. So Jose makes a quick run to the school at lunchtime with a special taco delivery. That's also why they are closed on weekends.
We do have family, you know, spend time with the kids. Yes, money, everybody needs money. But it's not the main thing in life, you know. Most important thing is family.
So no, you can't go to Rico's Tacos this weekend. But if you go on a weekday, you can try two of Lupe's personal favorites, the Al Pastor and the Barbacoa. The recipes are Lupe's. She's developed them over a lifetime, growing up in a restaurant, taking trips to Guadalajara. But Jose is the one who makes the tacos. He puts his own spin on things. And according to Lupe, he's made the tacos even better. She says there's a phrase for this in Spanish.
Los alumnos superan a los maestros. The students, how do you say it in English? Like, get better than the teachers, you know what I mean?
So Jose fires up a stovetop griddle and starts flipping little corn tortillas in sizzling oil. But he flips two tortillas together for each taco.
That's the traditional tacos, two tortillas and a taco.
For the Al Pastor, Jose heats up shredded pork in a red sauce. And for the barbacoa, he uses cow cheek. He presses the meat onto the griddle with an iron, then he tosses it together with chopped onions and cilantro.
Do you recommend adding the lime?
Yes. Uh-huh.
The Al Pastor drips with flavorful juices from the sauce and lime, but the meat is really the star of the barbacoa.
That is really good. The beef is delicious. Do you have a secret you're willing to share? It's very tender.
The barbacoa, it's a process. It takes longer to cook. And then the spices that he adds into it. And like he says, his love that he adds into it. So, yeah, it's real good. I like it.
I visited Lupe and Jose on a Tuesday. And it might have sounded quiet, but that's because it was just 9:30 in the morning. By lunchtime, the place was packed. So consider yourselves warned. Okay, so that was Rico's Tacos Lupe. Let's hear about tacos our critics are recommending. Charles Ferruza, Mary Block, Bonjuing Lee, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
So everyone, I want you each to start by disclosing your overall taco style. Like, what's your type when it comes to tacos? Bonjuing?
I like it simple. Just, very, I guess, what you a lot of people would consider traditional Mexican street tacos. Just tortilla, the meat, and maybe some chopped onions and cilantro and lime.
What is one place, just for now, that exemplifies this kind of taco?
I think the Carniceria San Antonio, and then they have a sister market, taqueria, in the back of a market called Carniceria y Tortería San Antonio, which is on Kansas Avenue in KCK.
So tell me a little more about them.
Well, they make their own tortillas, and then at the back of the market, in both locations, there's just this little griddle where they have a little kitchen, and you just order your meat. And they put down, like they described it, Lupe's, two corn tortillas, put the meat on there, and they just serve it to you. And then they have a little stand for condiments. And then they have, you know, maybe two salsas, chopped onions, cilantro, and a bucket of limes, cut limes that you can just, you know, take.
Yum. So you very much customize your taco here.
Yes. But it's all very simple.
So, Mary, tell me about your taco type.
I prefer street tacos as well. And as Bonjwing said, they're typically a soft shell taco. And I think the thing that makes them is whether they're homemade or not.
The tortillas?
Yes. A corn tortilla that's soft and supple makes all the difference in the world. And then it just has a meat filling, the onion, cilantro, and lime, and then you add your own salsas. I think we've really gone more towards that style than the old Tex-Mex with the hard shell and the pico de gallo and cheese and lettuce.
And the very soupy ground beef.
Exactly. That reminds me of my childhood, and I'm not a fan.
Okay. Well, and Charles, tell me about your taco your taco bias. We're just disclosing this up front so that our listeners know what to make of the recommendations.
Well, like my fellow panelists here, I do crave street tacos, street style tacos. And I love El Camino Real on 7th Street in Kansas City, Kansas. It is, like Bonjwing would say, very simple, very unadorned. I don't think there's any cheese on them that I could remember. Very simple cilantro and onion. And the meat beautifully grilled, very delicious. And yes, they have to be soft shell corn tacos to be perfect. Although I will say that the soft shell tacos at Tortilleria San Antonio are the most delicious I've ever had.
So you're kind of agreeing with Bonjwing's recommendation there.
And Mary's. I think Mary's been there too. Yeah. I should also say that that place, the San Antonio Market, is the be seen sort of place on Saturday mornings.
Well, another hotspot on Saturday morning is Bickelmeyer, which I love. It's over in North Kansas City, and it has, it's typically a butcher shop, but on Saturdays they have tons of great tacos, a variety. Just on Saturday. And if you want to get them, you better go in the morning. It might not be your ideal breakfast, but by 11, there's a long line.
Oh, it's my ideal breakfast.
Yeah.
Tell me more about this taco that people line up for.
Well, what I love about it is obviously the meat is really good because it comes from the butcher shop. And the tacos themselves are chock full of the meat. And then you can add the various salsas. And it's another place to be seen. You'll recognize a lot of people in that line.
Movie stars?
Probably.
Call 816-235-2888 to tell us about the kind of taco you like and the best place in town to find it. 816-235-2888. And something we haven't heard a lot about, fish tacos. They're a little different. If that's something you're into, call definitely with your recommendation. 816-235-2888. Let's talk to Chuck. Chuck, what's your taco?
Well, I'm in agreement with everyone else. I do like street tacos, and San Antonio's was my favorite. But now I go to Bonita Michoacan, which is on Minnesota Avenue. I think they have a much bigger assortment of tacos. My favorite is lengua, which is tongue. And my friends tend to go for the chicharron, which is pork rinds with green sauce. Tend to be spicy but delicious there. The great thing about them is they have Taco Tuesday, but they also have a Taco Friday, so you can get tacos specials on both Tuesdays and Fridays.
Well, so tell me more about your favorite taco here, the lengua. That's tongue.
All of my friends have always thought that tongue is really disgusting, but in fact, it is one of the most tender and tasty meats you can have. I grew up on the border in Texas, and tongue is just a delicacy down there. It's a delicious taste, and it goes great with cilantro and hot sauce.
I think that, you know, when I visited Lupe earlier this week, she was telling me about their tongue tacos, and she said that one of the big misunderstandings about tongue is actually that people imagine the texture of the outside of a tongue, but that's not part of what you're being served. You're being served the inside.
Yes, what you do is you cook it quite a while, and then that outside of the skin of the tongue will peel off readily, and it basically becomes just a delicious taste of meat, which is so, it's just uncomparable to anything else. You just have to try it.
And so you prefer, as a lover of
Lengua Tacos. You like the ones they have at Bonito Michoacan on Minnesota Avenue.
Correct. And I believe they have one out in Olathe now, like Santa Fe or something.
Well, thanks. Thank you, Chuck.
Sure. Also, if I could,
yeah?
When somebody was talking about the fish tacos.
That was me.
Where I go for fish tacos is El Patron on Southwest Boulevard. They have delicious fish tacos there.
What do you like about those?
Just the spiciness of them. They do a great job. They have fresh fish every day that they bring in. They have a fresh seafood cocktail there. That is amazing. But in terms of fish tacos, by far, theirs are the best.
All right. Well, thank you, Chuck.
You're welcome.
Okay, so a couple of things to respond to here. One, does anyone else here like Lengua tacos?
Where do you go for them? My favorite, because it is so tender. Well, I think all the places that we've talked about have it. I think it's a pretty standard.
Any place that you are recommending for tacos has a good Lengua taco.
Yes.
All right. So Bonjuing recommendations for the Lengua taco lovers out there. And then what about fish tacos?
I do love a fish taco. But and they are flour tortillas traditionally from the Baja California of Mexico. And I've had them at Port Fonda. They always have a fish taco. It's a battered fish, usually a white fish that's been battered and fried and then served on a flour tortilla. And then my favorite part of fish tacos is because it is from a more tropical place. There's usually sometimes crema or like this creamy sort of sour creamish, if you will, type of a condiment with it.
Mary, jump in here. You are also recommending Port Fonda in general for tacos.
I am. And they do have a really good fish taco. And as Bonjuing said, it's a little bit different preparation. And it has a cabbage slaw on top as well. But they have a big selection, either carnitas, chorizo. They have some vegetarian ones for the vegetarians out there. They've got a mushroom one and a fried avocado one as well. And they get their tortillas from Yoli Tortilleria. And they're wonderful. And they have different flavors.
Let's talk to Joe in North Kansas City. Hi, Joe.
Good morning.
What do you want to share?
So a great gateway taco to jump into a world of tacos is the Tacos Chidos up at Ixtapa on Berry Road, just across from Zona Rosa.
Tell me more.
It's simple. It's delightful. Two corn tortillas and carne asada, which they make all day. They soak all day, and it's delicious. And then they have a little bit of homemade guacamole and a sauce to dip it in, and then you're in heaven.
You know, I have had those tacos, and something that I remember about them is the presentation. There's quite a visual presentation. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So the sauce is kind of in the middle in a tiny mortar, and then the five tacos are kind of like displayed around. They're kind of like synchronized swimmers, like, ah! And it is good.
Well, Joe, thank you so much. Any other tacos to recommend, or just start off with Ixtapa and go from there?
Go to Ixtapa, and if you don't like the tacos, they have excellent margaritas, and you can drink so many you forget about it, it'll be great.
Thanks, Joe. Mary, that's also one of your recommendations.
It is, and that meat that Joe was talking about, they'll do any kind of meat for you, and it's marinated in beer and citrus and pepper, and then it's charbroiled, and it's kind of like deconstructed fajitas, because they've got all the elements of a fajita, but separated.
It's a good restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk now to Dave in Tonganoxie. Hi, Dave.
I just wanted to second the thing on Camino Real. I mean, watching the tortillas come off, it looks like an old mimeograph machine. They actually have to double them up because they're so soft. And the fillings are simple, and they are just unbelievably cheap. And it's just a great place to go.
Okay.
For crunchy tacos, the La Fonda El Taquita, I think, reminds me of my childhood, and they are fantastic.
Well, wait, crunchy tacos. Say more, right. Please.
Deep fried juice coming out of them. And on Thursdays, they're only a dollar. They're just, they're fantastic. And then nothing more I can say about them.
Well, thank you, Dave.
I did have one thing. So I thought somebody said that Bickelmeyer's was over in North Kansas City, but it's also down there in Kansas City, Kansas.
Yeah, I misspoke. Thank you for the correction.
All right.
Okay, well, thank you, Dave. And Charles, you have something to say about the crunchy taco?
Yes, because, you know, I think it's a part of all of our childhoods. I mean, that's how I was introduced to tacos, because my parents
Well, if you come from the Midwest.
If you come from the Midwest, absolutely. And if you want to know what a taco was like in the 1960s, a traditional American taco was like in the 1960s, I want to suggest the Humdinger Drive-In at 2504 East 9th Street, which, by the way, is open till 11:45. They still serve those deep-fried, hard-shell, crunchy tacos, and they're very, very inexpensive. And you'd be surprised how many you could eat at about 11:45.
I think that's a really good point, though. I think that we were talking about more like what's traditional street tacos, but I personally have a great love of my childhood,
the crunchy
children,
taco.
Right? Yeah, think of it. In fact, the other day I was talking to my friend Catherine about coming on the show, and her eyes glazed over, and she kind of went into this trance and talked about the enchirito at Taco Bell, which is not a taco, but just our American love for our versions of taco that we grew up with. I think there's nothing wrong with that. They're delicious.
Yeah, we should also put in a shout for of the same vintage sort of as the old Humdinger Drive-In. Taco Villa in Johnson County was where a lot of people were introduced to American taco.
And in a tub.
I was about to say in a tub.
You know, if in a tub, which I like, and it is the greasiest taco I think I've ever had, if they didn't have that powdered cheese that tastes like it came from a box of Kraft macaroni mix, it's always been that powdered cheese that kind of set me back. But
well, so about all of these tacos, I've heard the argument that this is a fine... Maybe fine is the wrong word. That this is a food with its place in the culinary world, but that perhaps it should be called something other than a taco.
A taquette. I don't know.
We'll leave that where it is. Let's talk to Chris in Lawrence. Hi, Chris.
Hello. I was calling to talk about Burrito King up here in Lawrence. They're a traditional American-style Tex-Mex taco, corn tortilla, hard shell with meat, cheese, and lettuce, and they're greasy. I mean, you talked about in a tub. I've been in a tub, but Burrito King, the meat is greasier. The taco is greasier, but the grease is flavored. I mean, it's like neon orange when you look at the bottom of the kind of it's a
And you're into that.
Carry out only. Yeah, it's carry out only. And so it comes wrapped in a sheet of aluminum foil. And, when you get done eating it, you've got a pool of neon orange grease in the bottom of it. And I've seen people actually, with the lettuce and cheese that's falling off the taco, take a fork and just kind of stir it around and eat the grease because the grease has the flavor.
Well, waste not, want not, right, Chris?
Yes.
Okay.
Very much so.
So this is a recommendation for Burrito King in Lawrence for tacos with a neon orange grease residue.
They are delicious, by the way. Really good.
In Mexico, in taquerias there, you will find oftentimes on the menu something called tacos gringos, which is a hard shell with the shredded cheese, the shredded lettuce, iceberg lettuce, and the chopped tomatoes. And so, I mean, I think it's even made it into the Mexican vernacular, the American taco.
Let's talk to Lauren in Waldo. Hi, Lauren.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. How about you?
I'm doing great. I wanted to make a recommendation for a couple of tacos. When it comes to the traditional Mexican style, two corn tortillas, meat, onions, and cilantro. Now, forgive me if somebody's already said this, but I came a little late to the broadcast, but Taqueria El Torito down on Independence Avenue, it's a little bit, if you get off of 435 on Independence Avenue, it's just a little bit west of 435 there. There's also a Torito Market right across the parking lot.
Oh, I have eaten there. And they're very inexpensive and really, really good.
Oh, yes, they're fantastic.
And the selection is huge.
Oh, yeah, all of them are a dollar except for Lengua. They recently raised Lengua up to $1.50, but it's still definitely worth it. And they have usually four or five different kinds of salsa at least. I will warn anyone going there that if you don't like things that are spicy, they do not have a mild salsa. everything I would consider at least medium, but I love things really spicy. So theirs are great. Everything from the chorizo to the other, all the different flavors are fantastic there.
Bonjuring, you wanted to jump in on something?
Well,
here?
On the spicy front, I was at a wedding last week here in Kansas City, and my friends Ryan and Anya is from Mexico, and so they had a taco cart at their reception. So everyone had tacos, uh-huh. which was great. It was Don Antonio, which is out in Wyandotte County along I-70. And their pico de gallo, at first glance, it looks like normal pico with tomatoes, onions, and peppers. But when you actually got it, you look closer at it, it was actually jalapeno. And so that was it was spicy. There are a lot of guests who are not prepared for that. But if you like spicy, go check out their pico because it's a fiery one.
And Mary, you know, I think that Lauren's recommending a carniceria and there are a couple of sort of like grocery store taqueria combo type places that you've been recommending, and I don't think we've gotten to all of them yet.
No, we haven't. And that seems to be a big thing. You've got a grocery store in part of it and a restaurant in the other part. My favorite one at the moment is Taco de Gallo on Southwest Boulevard. And I notice a lot of chefs go there. And I saw that on Instagram, so I thought, okay, I've got to check this out. And it's great. And while you wait for your order, you can do a little shopping, watch the carnitas crisp up on the griddle, and then they've got a really nice selection of salsas, so fill up your little plastic cups and get ready for those things to come off the griddle.
And there, what about Los Alamos?
I like that one, too. It's just a cute little place. If you don't go with anyone who speaks Spanish, you might be in trouble, which is part of the charm. It's a cafeteria style, unlike these other ones, and you're just stuck with whatever they have that day. But they've got great
options.
Is that
the one over on Summit?
It's Summit,
yeah.
Yep.
The corner and 17th. Summit and 17th, yeah. Yep.
It's also another CNBC place.
Well, I am here with the food critics. I'm Gina Kaufman. We still have just a little time left to hear about the tasty tacos in and around Kansas City that you need to get into this official conversation determining what are the best ones. 816-235-2888. This is KCUR's Central Standard. We'll be right back. We're back. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard, and I'm here with the food critics Bonjuring Lee, also known as the Ulterior Epicure, Mary Block, who blogs about food at Around the Block, and Charles Ferruzza, the longtime anchor of these food shows. He's a freelance food writer, and we are talking about tacos. Hi again, everyone.
Hi, Gina.
Hi.
So, Charles, tell me about the tacos at Unforked on 119th Street.
You know, I really love the hamburgers there, but I almost always get at least one or two of the fried avocado tacos, because, you know, there is at least the illusion that they're low fat.
What?
Well, illusion to me anyway, because they're meatless.
Because there's something green in them?
Yeah, there's something green and healthy in them. But I like the idea of the crispy shell around the very soft and creamy avocado. And it, you know, I like it because it has the illusion of health, even though it has none, probably. But it's a good fast food sort of taco.
And the fried avocado taco, I have noticed that popping up on menus. It seems to be a thing right now.
And I think it very much is.
It is.
Sort of like, I wanted to put a shout out for Rudy's restaurant in Westport, longtime Mexican restaurant here in town. I think they were the first. Speaking of things that are suddenly becoming a thing, I think Rudy's was the first to serve fish tacos in the city. Certainly one of the very first. And a lot of people got their taste of California-style fish tacos at Rudy's. And a lot of people still go there for those.
Over on Westport Road.
On Westport Road, yeah.
And Mary, tell me about Cancun Fiesta Cantina.
You know, it's a Westport mainstay, no frills, centrally located, and I think that's part of why a lot of people go, but it serves hearty street tacos. They've got a variety of fillings. The chorizo is especially good, and the shredded beef. But that's all they have. You go up, you order, you get your taco, you sit down, you leave. Most people carry out, though, I think.
Let's talk to, Robert in KCK. Hi, Robert.
Hello. My recommendation doesn't explicitly sell tacos, but they sell carnitas. It's called Pepe's Carnitas in Argentine, Kansas. Typically what I do is I'll go there and buy the carnitas and just make my own tacos out of them.
Wait, sorry, Robert, where are you talking about?
It's called Pepe's Carnitas. It's in Argentine, Kansas, right off 18th Street.
So tell me a little more about it. We don't have a great connection, so we'll keep it brief, but I'd love to hear more. I am really curious. Pepe's Carnitas in Argentine.
Yeah. So they're only open on the weekends, and they sell out really quick. There's been many times I try to go there after work, and they're just sold out already. But it's very popular. The carnitas are kind of greasy. So what I'll usually do is buy a pound of meat, which typically runs about $7, and then just make my own tacos or burritos out of them. But again, it's called Pepe's Carnitas, and you can get it served with like some sort of like a cabbage, lettuce type thing. They also sell these things called tamales de harina. Harina means flour, so it's kind of like a cheeseburger with those carnitas on it. It's super good.
Fascinating.
Very, very good. But yeah, it's kind of off the beaten path. Argentine's kind of, you know, you don't usually go there unless you live there. But very good, very good.
Thank you so much, Robert. And now we'll talk to Justin in North Casey. Hi, Justin.
Good morning, Gina and the critics. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Doing well, thank you.
Excellent. Well, I'm from Houston, Texas, so I grew up eating papados and papacitos and a whole other slew of traditional Mexican tacos and Tex-Mex, and then moved up here after being displaced by a hurricane. And the first thing that my mom did when I moved up here was took me to Inatub in the Northland. I'm actually in their parking lot right now. And she said, try this. Oh, boy. It was so different from anything that we had in Houston in such a good way that I was like, you know, this is not entirely unpleasant. And now, to me, it's one of the best places that I come for tacos. I just order it without the powdered cheese because, to me, it just takes away from the flavor.
So I like your review. This is not entirely unpleasant.
Mm-hmm. And before I go, I just wanted to add on, Unforked has opened a new location that is in Crown Center where a streetcar named Desire used to be.
Hmm.
So if you don't want to make the trip all the way down south just to visit them.
Unless you already live there.
To get their food. Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks, Justin.
You guys are welcome.
And so now let's talk to Bob in Brookside. Hi, Bob.
Hi. I had a question for the food critics and the listeners. I grew up on tacos that used to be at a restaurant that was on Merriam Lane in Kansas City, Kansas, where House of Rocks is located now. And they served their tacos with sweet green peas in the meat. And I was wondering if there are any Mexican food restaurants or any places that serve tacos like that now. I like the tacos at Ninfa's on Kansas Avenue, but I'm looking to find a place that still makes them with green peas.
That sounds really interesting.
Was it served in a hard shell or a soft shell?
Hard shell, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's a hard shell, and then the peas were in the meat.
I've never heard of that.
I have never heard of that either.
Nothing? No one? All right. Well, Bob, we'll keep our eyes out.
Well, ask Charles if he remembers the name of that Mexican food restaurant where House of Rocks is.
I think it was called Dos Something.
Los?
I'll think of it.
All right. Well, thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
And now we're going to go to, I believe it's Hi downtown?
Yeah.
Welcome to the show, Hi.
Hi, thank you. Well, first and foremost, thank you guys for doing this. Finding the best taco place in town is something myself and a group of friends, we kind of do on a semi-regular monthly, weekly basis. We have a big group, and we try to find the best authentic taco places every single time.
So
What
is there like a group favorite that has arisen? Any major sort of like debates about, you know, who likes what?
Yeah, so we've been to so many of the amazing places you guys have mentioned and just sampled everything. But, you know, one place that keeps coming back up is Bonito Michoacan in KCK. I mean, it's amazing, fresh, and a great deal. The pastora there is unbeatable. And, you know, like many of the other places, you're in an amazing Mexican restaurant with a bakery right next door.
Well, thank you so much for that call. Hi, anything we haven't talked about that you think we need to know?
Oh, I'm not the expert on this, but if anyone would like to join us for Taco Group, there is a Facebook group called Taco O'Clock.
Taco O'Clock. Thanks, hi.
Thanks, guys.
So, anything anyone here wants to respond to in the calls we've already had before I take on some of our other listener recommendations?
Well, I wanted to ask my fellow panelists and you, Gina, if they had tried out Mission Tacos downtown in the Crossroads.
Because
it's kind of a stylish place with actually pretty good tacos.
I think it's a chain from St. Louis, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, yeah. Mission
mistaken,
Taco
right?
Joint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I thought it was pretty good.
It's kind of like Taco Republic.
Right, right.
Kind of the same vein, I'd say.
A lot
say.
Of options for, yeah. you know, for the, I did want to mention El Pollo Rey, yeah. which I see is also on Mary's list.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about it.
It's in KCK, down, close to San Antonio, actually. And they only do one thing as well, which is they roast chickens. You go in there and you will see hundreds of chickens out on the griddle. But you can buy them by the half or the whole, and they give you literally a chicken on a bone.
With
a stack of tortillas and some pico, and then you can buy rice and beans on the extra. It's very simple, but and limes, and so then you just basically pull the chicken meat off yourself and you make your own tacos that way.
And the name of the place translates basically as
to
like
the Chicken King, yeah, yeah. El Pollo Rey. So
is there the chicken itself? Can you tell me like it must be very good.
Yeah, it's just simply roasted. I'm sure they probably
very
marinate
tender.
It, and then you just make your own tacos. So you get both the dark and the white meat, and yeah.
Could eat it plain. I mean, it's excellent chicken, but the fun of it is the DIY
own, yeah.
aspect of it.
Yeah.
We have a couple of emails that I want to mention before going quickly to one last caller. We have, let's see, Kenny saying that Los Tules fish tacos are the best, that the fish is grilled just right. Anyone here want to confirm or deny?
Yeah. I like that.
Okay. And we also have Jenny telling us that Taco Lucha in Aggieville, Manhattan, Kansas... that their street tacos are dreamy good.
I did want to say, Hai was talking about tacos al pastor, and I have yet to find a really excellent taco al pastor. It's a traditional of Mexico City. It's pork on that spit, that you know, the turning spit, and normally what you'll find is a pineapple spiked to the top of the spit that's roasting with the meat, and they usually slice off a bit of that roasted pineapple to put with your taco, but I've yet to find a really good version of that.
They do it that way at El Camino Real.
I've seen it at El Camino Real, yeah.
That's good. Very good.
Just quickly, I want to say that we can solve the beef with peas mystery for our previous caller. And I'm going to say just Dave has called us from Tonganoxie to say that the restaurant on Merriam was called La Cocinas and that he himself now cooks beef with peas because he also found it very, very good. Let's talk to Glenda in KCK. Hi, Glenda.
Hi.
What do you want to share?
Yeah, so the tacos that I would recommend are Tacos El Güero. They are in the Northeast on St. John's. They're like on a little corner. They only open at 6 p.m. But what I really like about them is that they remind me of the tacos that I had in my home state of Michoacán in Mexico. They are street tacos, literally. There's no place for you to go inside. You order through a little window, and you can see the guys cook them. And so you just eat them out in the street.
And these, we've heard about a lot of different street-style tacos today, and these are the ones that you especially like. Even though you are calling us from KCK, you're going all the way over to Kansas City, Missouri, the historic Northeast, for these tacos. What makes them stand out to you?
Like I said, they just taste so much like the tacos that I would eat in Mexico. To me, they are really authentic, but I just really like the memories of eating these tacos out on the streets. And in the evenings is when we used to go in Mexico out to just have some tacos. And so they here only open in the evenings also.
Now, I'm not familiar with the Michoacan-style taco. Is there something specific about it?
No, I think it's just the carnitas actually originated in Michoacán, so I would just say the greasiness of them, because these tacos, the tortilla is actually pretty greasy, which makes them taste so good.
Glenda, thank you for that call. We'll have to check them out.
Yeah, definitely.
And our time is up, but I want to thank all of our callers and our critics, Mary Block, Charles Ferruza, Bonjuing Lee. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
And we are headed out for the weekend, but if you're out and about eating tacos, don't hesitate to tell us about them on Twitter. Pictures are always appreciated. We are at KCURCST, and I'm at GinaKCUR. If there's anything from the week that you missed and want to catch, go to kcur.org/centralstandard. That's also where you can hear this conversation and the one about tomatoes with James Worley, who is obsessed with tomatoes. We spoke to James earlier in today's show. kcur.org/centralstandard. And that is it. The show this week has been produced by Suzanne Hogan, Matthew Long Middleton, and Coy Duggar, with lots of help from intern Trevor Hook. Linda Scher runs the board for us every day, and our theme music is by Spoonbender Labs. I'm Gina Kaufman. Have a great weekend, everyone.